Thanks a lot for joining us. I'm Eric Carpenter. This is News Unbroken. It's a chance to take a look at what's going around our locale, our county, our state, our country, and some international affairs. I just want to talk about the state of the banking and potentially what it could mean here in the United States. Of course, if you want to listen to your federal government folks, we really don't have a problem. Everything is in good shape. Yet day after day, since the first closures of the Silicon Valley Bank, things have just tumbled downhill. The second biggest lender, Credit Suisse in Switzerland, they had a huge infusion of money from the Swiss government to keep them afloat on Tuesday. Their stock had continued to plummet Tuesday another 23%. The top shareholder said that they would not invest additional money in the Swiss bank. Well, the Swiss government came in and kept Credit Suisse from having to close. Well, the turmoil here in the U.S. continues. The FDIC not stepping in, but you know there was a lot of pressure from the FDIC for the country's largest banks to bail out another bank in California. $5 billion coming from JP Morgan Chase. $5 billion coming from Bank of America. Wells Fargo in the mix. All in all, about $50 billion getting infused into a California-based bank, all to keep the Fed from locking their doors. Yet the Fed says everything's under control. A lot of pauses in trading, not only with Credit Suisse in Switzerland, but U.S. banks. Their stocks have been in free fall on a lot of stocks, and that has triggered the automatic stops in trading on those stocks. Well, what does it really mean if everything continues to tumble? In Greece, you have to go back a few years. It was, I think, my second time in Greece. We were there, wanted to take a look at things in Athens. So I was in Athens. We found a taxi driver who was thrilled to death to get some green American hard currency, because in that point in time, 2017, you could not go to the bank in Greece and withdraw whatever you wanted. The account holders were only allowed to withdraw 60 euros, and right at that time, that was worth $70 a day. Now, if you didn't go to the bank that day, that $70 didn't roll over to the next day. It's just any given day, the most you could withdraw was $70. Well, that led to long, long lines outside of banks. In fact, banks were putting out refreshments for frustrated customers the first few days of that. The monthly limit, when the Greek restrictions went into effect, was 1,800 600 euros. That's for the month. Well, eventually time went on and the Greek government raised that to 5,000 euros. But it didn't matter how much money you had in the bank. The most you could take was $70 a day. So you can imagine just how thrilled someone in Greece was when there were some American tourists there and they had green dollars that were like gold in Greece at the time. Got worse from that in that the Greek government, now consider all of the banks in theory had a 100,000 euro guarantee, kind of like the FDIC's $250,000 guarantee. Well, they didn't have enough money to cover. So number one, you could only take $70 a day out of your account, didn't matter how much you had in it. But then the Greek government came in and kind of gave a buzz cut, a haircut to everybody. Technically, according to the banking industry, it wasn't a haircut because they left the dollar amount on deposit where it was, but then you got charged a 20% fee. Okay, you have 100,000 in the bank. That's guaranteed. They don't have the money to cover it. But all of a sudden, that account's only worth $80,000 if you want to get your money. That is much better than some of the others that went on. Now, a lot of you know that I was in Crete earlier this year, and the young lady that was taking me around and taking a look at things in Crete, a lot of what she was talking about was the mass suicides in Crete when the government shut down the banks, couldn't get your money, and when they did reopen, they had a substantial haircut. If you had much money at all, the guys were just going out committing suicide because all of a sudden the rich weren't rich anymore and couldn't even access their money. Their haircut over 30% in Crete and the bailout in Cyprus. Huge reductions in value. So, is that what's coming to the U.S.? It's been done elsewhere before. And so much of our banking economy today is based on the full faith in the U.S. government. And I'm afraid my faith in the U.S. government has very much gone away. Now, when you talk about what is going on and are we getting the best people put in to take care of this Silicon Valley Bank failure that occurred March the 10th and that. Well, the FDIC opened the Silicon Valley Bridge Bank. That is to take care of getting the money. FDIC says we're not going to do it in the future for every bank that fails, but we're going to cover the depositors of this Silicon Valley Bank failure. And who do they appoint the FDIC appoints as the CEO of the Silicon Valley Bridge Bank? Well, none other than the man that was escorted out of Bank of America back in 2008-09 financial crisis. He says he's proud of the work he did there. And he's really not sure why Bank of America fired him and escorted him out immediately. Of course, that's when Bank of America was deemed too large to fail and got bailed out. So, Mayopoulos doesn't mention that he was with Bank of America in 08 when it failed. He refers to his next job he landed. He was part of the new leadership. So he gets escorted out of Bank of America and then gets hired by Fannie Mae in Washington, D.C. According to him, he stabilized housing finance. Testimony at Capitol Hill. And during his Capitol Hill testimony, he says he was still stunned when Bank of America fired him. Well, he's now head of CEO Silicon Valley Bridge Bank that the taxpayers are bailing out. Big deal. It happened a few years ago. The Biden administration allowing an $8 billion merger. U.S. Bank, when they took over MUFG, Union Bank, and a subsidiary of Union Bank was Pure Point Financial. And Pure Point Financial, way before this merger with U.S. Bancorp, I had done business with them for a lot of years. And nuts and bolts of it, when I first started working with the folks at Pure Point Financial, I liked their attitude. I liked that they didn't quiz me of, where did you get this money that you're putting in our bank? Now, right from the get-go, Pure Point Financial did not allow cash withdrawals or cash deposits. Everything was trackable, checks or wire transfers. They weren't laundering money, but they took deposits without giving you a fifth-degree quiz as to where your money came from. Well, about almost a month ago now, I got a notice from Pure Point Financial. And the funny part is that there have been other banks now that have sent out a very similar email to their customers saying, "We are closing. Get your money out now." I had already reduced most of my holdings with Pure Point Financial, but that was kind of the end of it. I had to close out and transfer my remaining funds. The closure of Pure Point Financial is coming of April of 2023. So just day before yesterday, I'm hearing the commentator reading an email from another financial institution. It read almost the same as what I had gotten a few weeks earlier from Pure Point Financial, that they were closing their doors, withdraw all your money, get them transferred out, and as of the final day, they would transfer your funds to where you wanted them for any CDs. So it's not just the banks that you are hearing about every day that the FDIC is closing. There are closures going on across the country that you're not hearing about. These are people that see the writing on the wall that the regulators will be coming and preemptively deciding to close their doors. PurePoint Financial, they would wire an unlimited amount any given day. If you did a bank transfer, there was a $250,000 a day limit and a $1 million 30-day limit. So if you did bank-to-bank transfer, they had some limits, but they would wire any unlimited amount or write you a check. So you're only hearing the tip of the iceberg of the huge banks. There are a lot of other banks just locking their doors. Next week, I will be back. We will be talking about currency. And it's all sort of related. There are bills in the Texas legislature affecting currency. Here in Washington State, there is a hearing coming up, I think the 25th, next week or so, that's going to deal with currency. And I don't think our legislators even realize what they're voting on this one. We're going to be talking fiat currency, true gold and silver currency. We're going to be talking about that my next episode next week. I really appreciate those that join me. At least now I feel a little bit better because all during our 2 years of COVID coverage, we had more logins from Virginia than anywhere else in the country or the world. At least Virginia has dropped to second. Not that I was nervous, not that I really cared that I got notice from Spotify and Facebook threatening to keep us from posting. Things are good now. COVID's kind of a thing of the past, other than, you know, the more we find out, the more we know that my news was perfectly true and a lot of other people's news was perfectly true. And yes, the U.S. government and Fauci, they were funding the lab in China and the COVID virus came from the lab in China and a lot of government intertangled things. Anyway, thanks a lot for joining us. I am Eric Carpenter. I'm from Colville, Washington, and yeah, I know. Eastern Washington's different from the West Side.